great song. Thank you, ladies, for playing that tonight. Luke 23. Luke chapter 23 in your Bible. This thing sounds awfully loud to me tonight. Is it loud out there to you? It's okay? All right, good. The sound changes with the humidity in the room. And so when the air conditioning kicks in, takes the humidity out, it gets a little crisper. And that's why you see a little change from time to time. Luke chapter 23. And now we want to turn our attention to our Lord's Supper ordinance for a little bit and bring our thoughts that direction tonight. So let's stand together, please, in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read one verse here, and then we'll pray, be seated, have our song, and jump into this tonight. Verse number 26 of Luke 23. Now the Bible says, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, would you please take a very simple thought tonight and open our hearts to it and help us to receive it. You won't force your way upon us. But God, if we would humbly come tonight with a worshipful spirit and come with a receptive heart, I believe you'll speak to us. May the Holy Spirit have his way in our service, and Lord, take control in our thoughts, our minds, my words, and may you help us. May the song be a blessing to help us prepare our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, BC. Speak a little bit out of this verse tonight. Let me say this, folks. Please don't get irritated when I fuss at folks on Sunday morning to come in and sit down and stay seated. You know, you can't believe sometimes, those of you that are up there, you can't believe the coming and going sometimes. People need to learn to have reverence for a church service. You can go to a football game and watch it, never move, never leave your seat for 2 hours. Watch a movie and never leave for 2 or 3 hours. You come to church and it's just a slightest little impulse of Mother Nature. Here we go. Well, I think I'm a little thirsty. We'll get me a drink. Your church is not, we're not going to treat the service of the church that way. A guy left mad this morning, a visitor, but Brother Scott, bless his heart, he confronted Brother Scott in the balcony, and Scott defended me, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I appreciate it. And so, but I, you know, it's not me. Look, take me out of it. It's this book right here. And if people can't hear it, they can't get help. And you can't believe how much distraction there is sometimes. And so, don't get impatient with me if I fuss a little bit on Sunday morning. And if somebody gets mad, doesn't come back, then you know what? I can't help it because we're gonna show reverence to the church service and the preaching of the Word of God. Okay? And I appreciate that. And I know you feel that way, but I just wanted to say it. We have new folks, and I don't want you think that I'm some kind of a Neanderthal bear. Probably close to that, but not exactly. Okay, so, but anyway, I want you to see verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid a hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. I want to speak tonight on this subject: Jesus, Simon, and me. Jesus, Simon, and me. Dear Lord, we do esteem the preaching of your word. You told us to do that. You told us to despise not prophesying, and that means the preaching of your word. And so, Lord, if we're not to think little of it, we're to think highly of it. We are to esteem it and hold it very dear. And so, Lord, we make no apology for that. I pray tonight that you'll help me in this simple truth and encourage the hearts of our people as we gather around this table to remember your blood, your body and your blood, Jesus. May you be exalted, magnified, and lifted up tonight. And I'll praise you for your help and ask it in your name, the name above all others. And amen. The Lord's Supper is a time for us to remember the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. And I remind you tonight, friend, it was a sacrifice that required both His body and His blood. Now, the centerpiece of Christ's sacrifice is the cross. It was the place on which His body was laid, and it was the place on which His blood was shed. So the cross, then, has become the symbol of Christ's crucifixion, His suffering, His sorrow, His shame. We sing the song, how does it start? The old rugged cross, on a hill far away, stood the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And that's what the cross has become. It is the symbol of Christ's crucifixion, His suffering, His sorrow, and His shame. Now, the empty tomb has a different meaning. The empty tomb is the symbol of victory. The empty tomb is the symbol of triumph. The empty tomb is the symbol of power. The empty tomb is the symbol of newness of life. But did you ever stop to think that we are not told to pick up His tomb and follow Him? We're not told to pick up His tomb and follow Him. However, we are told in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and in two places in the Gospel of Mark, and one place in the Gospel of Matthew, but in Luke 9:23, we are told, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So we are told, we're not told to pick up His tomb. We are told to pick up our cross. The cross, the symbol of suffering. The cross, the symbol of sorrow. The cross, the symbol of shame. Now, in our verse tonight, chapter 23 and verse number 26, we learn of Simon the Cyrenian. And it sounds as if Simon was coming in from the countryside with his two boys, Alexander and Rufus. You find that in the Gospel of Mark. And he brings those two boys, and they're coming from the countryside into Jerusalem. So as Simon is coming into Jerusalem with his two boys, Jesus is going out. And he's carrying his cross, and he stumbles under the weight of his cross. He's been beaten badly, scourged 39 times with the cat of nine tails. He's been slapped. He's been spat upon. He's been without sleep and without food now for several hours. He's physically exhausted, physically tired. The weight of that cross, he finally succumbed to it, and he stumbled and fell. Now, evidently, when that happened, one of the soldiers barked out an order for Simon to carry the cross. Hey, pick up his cross. Help him here. Now remember this, folks. The Roman law mandated if an official of higher rank than you compelled you to carry something for them, you had to carry it at least 1 mile. That was Roman law. So you got Simon here. He's a civilian. He's not an enlisted man in the Roman army. Here's one of the Roman soldiers who says to him, "Hey, you, help carry this cross." And so by Roman law, Simon had no choice. Now, you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, don't you? To his followers. He said, if a man compel you to carry a cross, if a man compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. So Jesus said, if you get ordered to carry something, don't do it for just 1 mile and then drop it. You go 2 miles. And so this was the mandate. So Simon, he dutifully picked up the cross of Jesus. Now watch this. And bears his cross. What does that make Simon? That makes Simon a picture of me. That makes Simon a picture of you. What are we to bear? What are we to be? We're to be cross bearers. That's what Jesus told us. If any man follow me, let him pick up his cross. If any man would deny himself and follow me, if any man follow me, deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me. So Simon becomes a picture of me. Simon becomes a picture of you. We are to be cross bearers after the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus endured the payment of sin on the cross for us so that we can be exempt from that suffering, the payment of sin. However, He did not exempt us from the suffering and the sorrow and the shame of the cross. We're exempt from the suffering of the payment of our sin. Thank God for that. We don't have to die and go to hell. But in no way, shape, or form are you or me exempt from the sorrow and the suffering and the shame of the cross. In fact, we are told, like Simon, to pick it up and carry. Do you see the difference? We're exempt from the suffering of the penalty of sin. But we are not exempt from the shame and the suffering and the sorrow of bearing His cross. And when our life of following Christ calls on us to pick up or carry our cross, we need to be ready and we need to remember some truths. And folks, you see, you know, I don't want to be pessimistic and dark and overcast in my personality, and I'm not. I don't think I am that way, but I think I do think it's time for God's people to be realistic. I'm trying to prepare our church for the last of the last days. Because I believe we're there. I was talking to Brother Coral this week. We were talking about this health care bill. We were talking about I had to redo my speaking appointment at the conference in Lexington because of the funeral. And he was gracious enough to accommodate that for me. And so we were talking about the health care bill, all that stuff. And he said, Pastor Gerald, where Danny and Amy are serving down there in Mesquite, Texas, Pastor Gerald has been reading the health care bill. You can go online and read the thing. Not read about it, read the bill. Download it, read it. And from pages 1000 to 1008, Pastor Matt Gerald has read, I suppose you and I can read it too, that at some point in the process of enacting all of this health care legislation that's been signed into law, there's going to be a digital chip inserted in every human in America. And with that chip, they will monitor our health. If you've been to a doctor for your physical. See, this is not about health care. It's about control. It's about the control of the populace. That's what it's about. We're talking about stuff like that kind of thing made chill bumps go up and down my spine. I believe with all of my heart we're living in the last of the last days. And friend, you can't read your Bible without realizing that this thing is going to become the apostasy declining away from Jesus Christ. I don't want to wait till all of a sudden at the very end try to build some strong followers of Jesus Christ. I'd like to prepare us now to be ready to pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ. Because we're not exempt from the suffering and the shame and the sorrow of the cross. We're exempt from the suffering of sin, the penalty of sin. But we're not exempt from the suffering and the shame of the cross. Christianity, especially a Christianity that follows close to Jesus Christ, is not going to become more popular. It's going to become less popular. They're going to make it more difficult on you and me to follow Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that they'll come after our properties for tax purposes. They're broke. They need money. I mean, with all my heart, folks, I'd probably take away the charitable contribution deduction someday. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I believe with all my heart that we are headed into some really serious times. I mean, times where God's people are going to have to purposely and willingly choose, if they're going to follow Jesus, to pick up a cross of suffering, a cross of sorrow, and a cross of shame, and follow Jesus Christ. Now, when that time comes, when you and I become the pariah of society, I already told you what I heard on the radio some weeks ago from a man who was a Republican who said to Rush Limbaugh, if we could just get rid of the Christians. I heard that with my own ears a few weeks ago. Now, when we become the pariah of society, by the grace of God, I'm not going to lay down and play dead. I don't want to surrender my Christianity to a antichrist agendaed government. I want to pick up my cross and follow Him. And I'm going to have to remember that there's shame and there's suffering and there's sorrow that's associated with that. And when that time comes, I think it would be good to remember three or four things. Let me give them to you. First of all, number one, remember whose cross our cross pictures. Now, Jesus said we are to take up our cross daily. So I have a cross to bear, so do you. However, because it is called a cross, it puts us in mind of the cross of Jesus Christ. Our cross is a picture of His cross. And folks, listen very carefully. When we are laughed at for our morals, when we are derided for our code of behavior, when we are ridiculed for our religious practice, when we are mocked because of our beliefs and our values, when you men get laughed at work because you won't listen to some dirty joke, when you get laughed at because you pray over your lunch, when you get ridiculed because you have certain convictions, when you're mocked because you carry a Bible, when you get mocked because you pray before you eat, when we begin to stick out like a sore thumb, remember, friend, our cross is but a picture of His. Let me ask you a question. Is it all that horrible to bear the cross of Jesus? Is it really all that horrible? Is it really all that bad? You can't help but notice, and I noticed this in Washington, D.C. again this week with these young people from our church. And by the way, the Airhead tour guide did say on the way back to the Capitol, to the Longfellow building where Senator Representative Halverson's office is located, she said to me, she said, Pastor, she said, these kids are absolutely well-behaved kids. She said, I have given tours to groups of kids that I just wanted to walk away from, but I have not wanted that. Now, we wanted to walk away from her, but she didn't want to walk away from us. Now, look, you get in a public place with lots of people, like we were this week. Somebody said, Deutsch read it somewhere over 1.6 million people went to the. It was the fullest it's ever been. I think because today was Easter and schools were on break either last week or this week, it was jam-packed with people. I mean jam-packed. You can't get to public places like that with that many people without noticing the stares and the smirks as people look at a group of Christians like we are and see how we're dressed and how we behave compared to the world, and they look with such disdain. But have you ever looked at how they look? You ever looked at that? Listen to me. They bear the marks of their chosen deity. Say amen right there. Yes, sir. They bear the marks of their chosen deity. I'm talking about the Hollywood perverts and the people of vile and beastly behavior, people who have had more mates than animals have. And people who've had mates that animals wouldn't have. That's right, amen. That's true. That's exactly true. And here they are, and they stand, you know, gawking and smirking at clean-cut young men who are dressed decently and feminine-looking ladies because of attire that is modest and that's proper. And the one gawking is painted with all the colors of the rainbow. And they got more holes punctured in their flesh. If they had a drink of water, they'd just leak like a sieve. They got their pants halfway down their bottoms, and they got blouses that don't have a button until they get down to the sternum. That's right. And they are gawking. They're gawking. If I'm to suffer ridicule, let me suffer it for following Jesus Christ. Not some perverted, cocaine-snorting, crayon-box-colored thing that looks half-dressed for bed and the haunted house. Walk around in pajama pants. And we're awkward, we're funny. Let me ask you a question. Is it really so bad to bear the cross of Christ? No. It ain't bad. You remember, friend, whose cross you represent, your cross represents. Remember, our cross is a picture of His cross. I like what the songwriter wrote, "Take the world, but give me Jesus." I'd rather have that than what they were. Number two, remember that. When the time comes to pick up our cross and bear the shame and the sorrow and the suffering of His cross. Remember, our cross pictures His cross. Number two, remember this. Remember, we carry the cross after Him. After Him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, He told us to take up that cross and follow Him. Can I tell you tonight that if you're bearing the cross of Christ, you're in good company? He carried it first. And we are following in His blood-stained footsteps. I have mentioned to you recently, several times in messages, this question that Jesus asked. Is the servant greater than his Lord? The obvious answer to that question is no. Let me ask you, if He bore His cross in the heat of the day, should we expect cool breezes and comfort? If He bore His cross, if bearing His cross brought Him jeers and mocking, should we expect popularity? Well, I want to go to a church where everybody is a popular place to go. There's plenty of those around. I don't see Him popular. I see people ridiculing Him and jeering Him and mocking Him. And I'm supposed to expect less for myself? If bearing His cross was wearisome and painful, should we expect any less? If His cross was unbelievably heavy, should mine and yours be light? No, 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 no. Because the servant is not greater than his Lord. And He carried it first. You pick up yours, I'll pick up mine, and let's follow on. Our Master asks of us nothing more than what He has already done. Would you quit looking for a convenient, sufferless, shameless, sorrowless Christianity and pick up your cross and follow Jesus Christ? That's what I'm talking about. Here, remember, we carry the cross after Him. Our Master has asked of us nothing more than what He has already done. What a great Master we serve. Number three, let me say this tonight. Remember that our cross is a picture of His cross. Number two, remember we carry the cross after Him. I like this. Number three, remember that we carry this cross in partnership. And I want to show you something tonight. In verse number 26, right here in your text, the Bible says that they laid, here came Simon, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now don't turn to it, but John chapter 19 and verse 17 says, "He bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull." Now watch me. Stick with me for a minute. John seems to indicate that Jesus carried his cross all the way to Calvary. And John was an eyewitness. He seems to indicate that he carried his cross all the way to Calvary. The Bible says here that Simon carried it after Jesus. It is very possible that when the Roman soldier barked out an order to Simon to help Jesus carry the cross, that Jesus has got that cross. He's got the horizontal beam and the vertical beam. He's got that 90-degree angle under his shoulder. He's bearing his cross. The tail of the vertical beam is behind him, scraping the ground. And it very well could be that they picked up the tail end of the vertical beam and put it on Simon's shoulder, and he carried the cross after Jesus. Now, if that happened, then Jesus carried the heavier end. So it is with you and me, friend. if the cross we carry brings shame and suffering and sorrow, remember, friend, that we will never go through, that what we go through will never compare to what He went through. The heaviest part of the load is carried by Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to pick up my cross and follow after Him, that means I'm in partnership with Him. Now, maybe at the end of the day, we go home and laying in bed or just sitting in the recliner before we hit the sack, we say to the Lord, Jesus, they laughed at me today. I would not listen to the joke. I would not look at the magazine. They laughed at me today. Yes, child, I know. But you remember that they laughed harder and longer and louder at me. Jesus, they ridiculed me today. I was in the store dressed like a lady. I got all kinds of stares and people looking at me, ridiculing me. I had some tracts that I passed out to the lady at the check register. And as I left, I could hear the snickers in the background. They ridiculed me today. Yes, child, I saw that. But the most vitriolic ridicule was directed at me. Jesus, they mocked me today. They called me Holy Joe. They called me Susie Scriptures. They called me Billy Bible. Yes, child, but you should hear what they called me. Imposter. Liar. Blasphemer. You know what Jesus is saying? I know you carried your cross. But don't forget, I carried the heavy end. I carried the heavy load. Oh, and by the way, child, on top of all the laughter, and on top of all the mocking, and on top of all the ridicule, and on top of all the verboseness, I bore the weight of all your sin. Whose end was heavier, friend? The truth of the matter is, friend, we couldn't carry the heavy end. We could not measure up to the stipulations for carrying the heavy wind, the heavy end. Who is without sin among us? None. Then none of us could ever even qualify for carrying the heavy end of the cross. If you endure some kind of mocking or ridicule or jeering or laughter because you pick up your cross at work or you pick up your cross amongst your family and you bear it after Jesus, you remember, friend, that you're in partnership with Him. Your load may be heavy, but He's got the heavier end at His hand. The heavier end. You remember that your cross, our cross, pictures His cross. You remember that we carry the cross after Him. Remember that we carry the cross in partnership with Jesus. And then number four, remember, one day we will trade the cross for a crown. That's a pretty good deal. Don't turn to it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is what Paul said. We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. Persecuted. Cast down. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You know what Paul is saying there? He's talking about bearing His cross. That's what he's talking about. Paul said, I'm persecuted. I'm cast down. I'm troubled. Perplexed. Always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, the cross I carry is heavy. It's sorrowful. It's shameful. It's suffering. There's suffering. But then he said in verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Weight of glory. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Do what? Reign. If you reign, what do you wear? You wear a crown. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, persecuted, cast down, troubled, perplexed, because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I always bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I'm carrying the cross after Christ. I'm in partnership with Christ. I'm following after Him. My cross resembles His cross. And I was not exempt from suffering and from sorrow and from shame and ridicule and mocking and jeers. But it is but for a moment. Just for a moment of time. Friend, that's what this life is. It's only a moment. And it works. The cross worked for Paul a far more exceeding weight in glory. Because if I suffer with Him, I'll reign with Him. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I'd rather bear a cross here and have a crown up there than be crossless here and crownless there. So you go ahead and have your contemporary Christianity. Have your no reproach, no suffering, no shame, no commitment. Easy. Blue skies. Warm temperatures, no problems, no stick out like a sore thumb, no light, no witness. Go ahead, have that kind of Christian contemporary. Leave the cross, just let it sit. Don't pick up your cross and follow after Christ. Be exempt from the shame and the suffering and the sorrow of the cross. You won't have a crown someday either. I'd rather carry a cross here and get a crown up there. We're not going to walk around with crowns on our head and parading around up there, showing off ourselves to anybody. I like that old song, "When earth's short day is far behind and heaven's roll complete, the one who saved us will say, 'Well done,' we'll cast our crowns at His feet, we'll cast our crowns at His nail-scarred feet. Our joy complete in His presence sweet. Eternity's greatest privilege will be casting our crowns at His feet." Now, in order to enjoy that someday, for the moment, I'm here to tell you that your Christianity, if you believe anything, if you have any kind of morals, if you have any kind of values, if you have any kind of scruples whatsoever about being a child of God, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get more difficult. It's not going to become more popular. It's going to become less popular. It's going to be cross-bearing time. Jesus, Simon, and me. I think I'll just pick up my cross and follow after. Let's pray together. Dear God, I pray that You'll help us in these days to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, to walk in His precepts and statutes. And Lord, not to look for a shameless, supperless, sorrowless form of following after Christ that fits in with the world. And no distinction and no light and no witness. And God, no testimony. Lord, I'm not just talking about the outside. I'm talking about the inside. I'm talking about a life committed to following You. Help us as this man Simon passed by and picked up the cross after You. Help us to pick up our cross daily. Help us in this godless, oh, what a godless society anymore. Has no morals, no scruples, Lord. Has no values. None. Help us, oh God, to march on in the army of Christ, bearing our cross, realizing it's only for a moment. Realizing it works for us a far exceeding eternal weight in glory. Realizing that we'll exchange the cross for a crown. Realizing that if we suffer reproach here, we'll reign with Christ then. Help us, O God, make our teenagers strong, Lord. They are going into the teeth of the lion. God, build them, I pray. Build in them a strength, a commitment, a sense of courage through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless our men on the job. Bless our men at their places of work. Help them to stand up for Jesus. Lord, help us at our homes to be good testimonies for Christ, not compromise and bail out in this day of cross-bearing.
Help us to pick up our cross and carry on. Oh God, please bless us to do that. Help us to be like Simon. Jump on, jump in, and carry the cross, I pray.